Hey Fresh Capital listeners, in this episode, we're diving into DJI, a company that develops and manufactures innovative drone and camera technology for both commercial and recreational use. This is one of my favorite episodes on the Fresh Capital pod. We break down what DJI is doing right as a company while also explaining the future of drone technology and how it is going to revolutionize the world. Keep listening and enjoy. Welcome to another episode of Fresh Capital. Every week we provide a refreshingly simple way to learn about companies and investing. My name is Dan. Joining me from Canberra, Albert. How are you doing?
Good, Dan. I've been in mourning all day. How are you?
Is this because of the public holiday, Albert?
Public holiday, you know, I'm not, but you're wearing black, so very good.
Yes, so here in Australia, for our non-Australian listeners, we've got a public holiday for the Queen's passing, which was kind of odd. It feels like a strange day. Like it's sort of, we only got 2 weeks' notice that it was coming down the pipe and I didn't plan anything. I don't know about you, Albert.
Oh, I mean, conveniently it gave me a way to come to Canberra and kind of spend the weekend here. So I think it was nice for that more than anything else.
Very good. Very good. And it's given us some time to record some podcasts. This will be an extra episode that we're getting in there. DJI, Albert, how did you come up with that as a company to look into?
Oh, DJI. I think this is a great business to talk about. They are private. They're the drone and camera business that's originated in China, but you know, now they've got this incredible market share globally on consumer drones. How we got here is pretty interesting. Trying to look at interesting Asian companies, and there's obviously a lot in the space, but for some of the Asian companies that are exciting to talk about, a lot of them still aren't public, and a lot of them tend to be very tech-oriented or very app-center-oriented, or you're taking different kind of models that have been established in China and apply them to different regions. DJI is not any of that. You know, they're a consumer and kind of B2B drone business. They're still private, so, you know, finding trying to information them is a bit kind of sparse, but I feel like they flowed nicely from our Canon episode and kind of ties in into very much what we do on this pod.
Yeah, and I was saying to you before we started recording, Albert, I found this to be the most interesting company, the most interesting deep dive we've done in several months, because there's this really great mix of you're looking at a company, its performance, what it's doing, but there's also just this other part of it, which is the segment. It's about drones. It's about what the future potential of drone technology is for applications in the world. And so it's almost like a mix between our company deep dives and some of the thematic episodes we've been looking at. And that's a really interesting intersection to be looking into. So I can't wait to dive in, Albert. Do you want to give a quick sort of introduction to who is DJI? What do they do? What are drones in this particular context that we're talking about?
Yeah, for sure. So DJI is a drone company that specializes in consumer drones, and we'll talk about the range of consumer drones they have, as well as professional drones used for cinematography and enterprise drone services. They started in, you know, drones, but now have expanded to cameras, very similar to GoPro-esque cameras and gimbals. We probably won't talk too much about, you know, cameras or gimbals of the pod because that's not really a big part of their business. While it is private, they're estimated to be making about $3 billion in US dollars in revenue, which is, you know, a crazy amount for a business that just sells drones. They have about 75 to 80% of market share based in China, but, you know, have expanded across the globe.
A good overview, Albert. I think just to hit on the drone point, you know, what we're talking about there is, I'm sure a couple of years ago, everyone's very familiar with the probably about the size of a, I'm going to say Xbox for some reason, but, you know, sort of a smallish device with propellers on it. You'd have a sort of controller and you could fly these things up and around. That'd have a camera, which you can then shoot footage with as well. And there's a range of those sort of product lines, some being more expensive with more features, some being much more cheaper or much cheaper with less features. It's a really interesting product, and I think this is a good time to talk about drones generally, Albert, and then go back into DJI. But drone technology to me is like this really interesting intersection between, obviously, you've got the aerial device itself, the frame, which has to fly, do all these sorts of things. You've then got the camera, which has to have a certain amount of quality. You've then got a software overlay to that where it's picking up certain details, it's generating that data and then sending it back to the drone operator. And then lastly, it's also just got this, I found it interesting, one of the things that really set DJI apart was the ability to stream data, which is a whole nother sort of technology, because you could imagine the difficulties of streaming live, you know, HD footage, potentially a kilometer back through all these obstacles and other things back to the person operating the drone. And that, you know, that was a really big problem for drones, which has sort of been worked out nowadays. So there's a lot of tech in this one device.
Yeah, and even when we talk about drones, we'll probably just keep referring to drones holistically. But I mean, there's a range of different types of drones, and predominantly consumer drones are what they call like quadcopters, where you've got kind of four little spinny, what do you call them? Wings, propellers. I guess.
Yep.
Propellers, there we go. Sorry, I'm obviously not an aviation engineer. Definitely out of my depth when it comes to talking about propellers, but they've got kind of four sets of propellers that attach to it, hence the name quadcopter. But you've got other types of drones. Some have six, some have two, look more like a helicopter, some have three. And then within drones, there's kind of, especially consumer drones, there's multiple types of drones. And we'll probably talk about this as we dive deeper into DJI, but it's kind of worth calling out right now. From a consumer perspective, there's like a normal drone, which is like a kind of flying quadcopter. You pull out, you control with a remote. It's really easy to use. And then you've got what they called first-person view drones, which are quite a lot more complex. You put on these glasses or you've got a viewfinder through your phone and you see what the drone sees. So it's less about, you know, a camera that you can move around, but more about providing a first-person view like you are actually flying. So you've got all these different types of drones, and then within a specific type of drone, there's like camera orientations as to what type of drone it is.
Yeah, and all of these different features really then go to the use cases that you'd be a particular operator would use those drones for. Obviously, everyday consumers, it's mainly just these sort of nice aerial photography shots that you're trying to get. But then you get much, much more specific. And I really wanted to talk about some of the use cases, Albert, because they're things which are so essential to doing business, to operating a company. You know, some of the things we don't think about, particularly in infrastructure, construction, and agriculture, but they're just completely out of sight, out of mind, so we don't think of these sorts of things. One of them is just sort of maintaining infrastructure like bridges, wind turbines, even skyscrapers. Usually, companies are paying helicopters to do survey and sort of maintenance work, where you'd hire a helicopter to go up and they would have a camera crew or whatever else, and they're just sort of surveying, take an example as a wind turbine, to see if there's any issues with the rotator. So they have to get up to that height and just sort of have a look and see, have birds been running into them? Has it been broken? Is there a crack? Those sorts of things. You know, those kind of inspection costs for a standard wind turbine would be $1,500 per tower. And if you're thinking about a wind farm, you know, you can have upwards of 100, even more wind turbines. That same inspection can be done by a drone at about half the price. So you're really starting to see like this is the use case for these drones in a commercial setting. And when I look at DJI as a business, Albert, I see it much more as a B2B play in terms of they're selling drones to these businesses for these particular use cases than your average photographer at home who's breaking out the drone to take some nice aerial photography shots.
Yeah, that's a great call out. And maybe we can quickly talk about their B2C play and smash that out before we go kind of into the deep end on their B2B business, because there's obviously a lot there. And on surface level, for most people who are familiar with, you know, DJI, they probably only really see the B2C business. So, you know, like Dan said at the top of the pod, like we've been talking about, DJI predominantly plays in kind of camera-based drones. that enthusiasts can use. They can fly them around. They can take these amazing, beautiful aerial shots. And if you've like loaded up Instagram, I'm sure you've seen like the view from the beach. You know, it's really common, tennis courts, football fields, things like that, to have these like aerial shots top down, a bird's eye view of what the drone's seeing. And you can produce some amazing photos. Predominantly consumer drones are really based around three things. How safe is the drone? So in terms of like how stable is it to fly? How precise are the controls? How easy is it to like emergency land? So if you're flying a drone, there's like an emergency land button that basically sends the drone back to you in the event of like turbulent winds and things like that. Then the other dimension that, you know, a lot of consumers care about and something that DJI does really well is battery life. So, you know, you're flying a drone, you don't want it to lose battery while flying because it ends up in the water, it ends up falling, it ends up breaking. Most drones generally have a battery life of, you know, about 10 to 15 minutes. But DJI can, you know, surpass that, and they've got some really great technology in their batteries that lets them go for about 20 to 25 minutes, sometimes even 30 minutes for their consumer drones. And then lastly, it's like ease of use and ease of learning. So learning how to fly a drone is actually really difficult. And, you know, there's like army training, there's certifications that DJI does now. But with a consumer drone, they're really built to be like open the box, plug and play. And so the way that they're geared up is that it's incredibly easy to just buy a drone and then use your phone or use the remote control to fly it.
Yeah, and I think there's even features where you can do follow me. So, you know, if you're the operator and you just want the drone to fly and follow you, a lot of YouTubers will do this if they're, you know, on a bike or something and they're riding through town and they want a shot focused just on them. Rather than having someone else operate it and follow them along, the drone can automatically do this, which goes back to one of my earlier points, which is, you know, so much of drones is not just the hardware, but the software that they can add to it with artificial intelligence, etc. Those sorts of functions are so important to making a device usable, making it something intuitive, making it something that people not only want to be able to use, but can use with very little training and skill. And I think that's what's made maybe the tipping point for drones as a product, Albert, and for regular consumers, is when you think of cameras, they're so easy to use. You take them out of a box, there's a button there, you point and click, super, super easy. For a while, drones were, I think, in the little bit too hard basket. You had to fiddle with a whole bunch of things, very high risk. If you lose control, run it into a wall, you just lose, you know, hundreds of dollars on the spot like that. DJI, I think, has really pioneered getting drones to a space where you can open up a box, turn it on, and then get flying, which is such a change in the industry for consumers to be able to access it and use it.
Yeah, and that's a great call out on, you know, automated tracking, and probably quickly talk about their professional drone line. So they've got a range of drones called the Inspire, and they've got multiple products for this that are really targeted at professional filmmakers and cinematographers. And these drones have a lot of kind of processing and AI built into them so that they can do things like automatic obstacle detection. So if you're trying to film a scene, you've obviously set the scene up so that there's different things in the background, actors, etc. You know, sometimes it's a car chase. Sometimes you want to get an amazing shot of like a drone moving through like a tunnel or something, or like a cave. The last thing you want to do is accidentally fly that drone into the wall, breaking it. And so the DJI have developed this technology that automatically detects obstacles and lets the drone navigate through that without the need for someone to be a really proficient pilot, because that's effectively what you're doing, is like you're driving an aircraft remotely. And so there's always going to be different precision controls that you've got to navigate, but they've abstracted that away using some of their like obstacle avoidance technology. It can do it from, like, in terms of like vertical and horizontal obstacles. They can do it on the fly. They also then do like a pair it with what they call object tracking, which is what you're talking about, Dan, is you can zoom in on a particular object, and as that object moves, the drone can follow that while also kind of detecting and avoiding obstacles. So it's pretty incredible. I don't know if you've seen the movie Ambulance, Dan.
No.
Yeah, it's actually this Michael Bay film, but it's like almost exclusively shot with drones. And like they've got these like explosions where like you've got shots like moving right in and out of car explosions, like a very typical Michael Bay film. But you can watch that and even just watch, you know, snippets of it on YouTube to see how incredible the drone technology has gotten in its application to film.
Absolutely, absolutely. I mean, one of the things that I was thinking of is when we mentioned, we're not going to get too into the cameras, the gimbals, the other side of what DJI does. But the interesting thing, I think, from what I've read is they're kind of using it as an entry point into the film industry, because you have these drones, etc., which to some extent are inaccessible. If you're a film director, you've never used a drone before, you're probably not going to say, hey, next movie I shoot, let's use drone technology. But what they did was they started creating these gimbals, which is sort of like a handheld device to help steady your camera. So if you're sort of waving it about, the camera still stays steady, great for action shots as you move along. And they were building out some of their cameras as well, because as a side product of their drones, they've got these great cameras too. Selling those to film directors, people shooting, etc. Now they've built a reputation in the film industry, which allows them an entry point to say, we not only just make gimbals and cameras, we also make fantastic drones. How about trying those out in your next shoot? So, you know, that's just sort of a small point about how they do have a little bit of a flywheel with their business products, putting them in such a way to sort of position themselves to get into certain markets.
For sure. And, you know, people like to knock on filmmakers like Michael Bay, but, you know, it's very rare that you've got original filmmakers who are using original film techniques. And drones are one of those techniques that people haven't yet used. And when you've got one filmmaker using them, pushing the boundaries of what you can do with it, a lot of other filmmakers are going to start doing it as well.
Okay, Albert, what part of DJI do you want to hit next?
Look, we've talked about consumer, we've talked about professional. It's worth talking about enterprise now.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Go into it.
Yeah, so DJI have got a pretty broad range of enterprise services. And so what you know, this broadly means is the application of drone technology, or whether it be, you know, the cameras, the drones themselves, different types of drones, to do a variety of things that they'd normally use people for. So something you talked about, Dan, was like asset maintenance. You know, they've got a range of different businesses that target very specific things, such as public security. So you've got drones that are being used for firefighting, for law enforcement, for rescue services. You've got drones being used for like surveying, whether it's land or urban planning. You've got them doing things like electricity use, so looking at grid maintenance and how well or how often you do maintenance on a particular electrical network. And then you've got, you know, asset inspections and things like that. Like, where do you want to kind of double click into, Dan?
Well, I think any of those. I mean, one of the things I wanted to hit on is just this isn't the future. You know, this is all actually happening right now, which is one of the reasons why I'm somewhat bullish on DJI as a company, is it's very easy to see the use cases that they're currently performing and just say they're a phone call away from a, you know, construction company and saying, hey, your competitors are using us and we're saving them X amount of dollars. Do you want to use us too? And to me, that's such an easy conversion, because they've already got a proof of concept. They're already doing these particular services and it's already proven to have cost savings. So, you know, is there one that particularly stood out to you as a particularly lucrative or an interesting use case, Albert?
Yeah, I think definitely public safety, because I think a lot of people look at drones at the moment and see them as the reverse of public safety. They see them as like, you know, privacy concerns. You know, they see them as, this is something that's, you know, spying on me and making me feel unsafe, rather than making me feel safe and supporting that.
Yeah. And for Australians with the bushfires, that's a really clear case of sort of public safety where it's being used. You know, we talked about some of the features that drones have, and it's not just your regular camera, because if you're thinking of this big bushfire billowing out all this sort of smoke, if you're a helicopter crew trying to work out, well, where do we go to drop water onto these fires to sort of put them out? You don't want a regular camera because you can't see anything with all the smoke. A lot of these sort of the upgraded and particular use cases of the drones, they'll have thermal cameras equipped. You can see the particular hot spots or the hottest areas for the fires, and that's where you'd then be sending water to douse the flames in that particular area to really attack the fire. You can also use the thermal imaging and some others to look for people, if there's people in the area. And there's already been work done which shows how drones have been used in Australia during our bushfires to find and rescue lots of animals which are hurt and injured, etc. So like the use cases aren't just for humans. There's a lot of environmental use cases as well for conservation, etc., that are really promising.
Yeah, and they frame it as like intelligence gathering. So if you think about the bushfire example, it's like if you're in, you know, a particular region, whether it's like Australia and the bushlands here, whether it's, say, California, where there's also often fires, like actually trying to find a fire is really difficult. There's not many people around where bushfires often occur. So if you can do routine drone kind of flyovers over large amounts of land relatively quickly, that's a quick way at scale to understand, is there going to be a fire? Where are like the areas of concern based on like dry material buildup and things like that? And when there are fires, like how widespread is the fire? Where's the fire moving? Where's it going to be located? Who do we need to evacuate? Like you can do all these decisions because now you've got literally like birds in the sky and quickly scanning through large like geographical land masses, which you couldn't do before.
Or you could do before, just at a much more costly price. You know, so as an example, an oil and gas company, which is doing like a pipeline inspection, you know, we don't think of these things, but many oil and gas companies, to transport their product, it's going across kilometers and kilometers of pipe. And if you've got cracks or rusts in certain areas of it, you have to have monthly inspections to just make sure there's no issues. That's a $2,500 helicopter crew per hour. And if you're looking at one of these, you know, professional grade drones, and we haven't necessarily talked about the pricing for DJI at the moment, Albert, but for one of their commercial grade devices, that's at about like the $13,000 mark. So you could buy that product, and as long as you use it for one day on the job at this oil and gas company, you're already starting to make a savings instead of hiring that helicopter crew. So like that's just, to me, this is why this business is so compelling. Is like it's just a no-brainer in terms of switching out, you know, old person costs, labor costs, to now something more automated and more efficient.
For sure. And I mean, another really great example is last year, or maybe it was earlier this year, they rescued someone off the beaches on the east in Sydney using a drone. So that someone was drowning, they're a bit too far away from the Coast Guard to come swim and rescue. They actually used a drone to drop an inflatable life jacket onto the person who was drowning. And so that they managed to drop that, they managed to put it on. And in the time that they were kind of floating with the life jacket, they managed to get the Coast Guard to go rescue this person on the inflatable. And so that's just another example of like, now you're saving lives with drone technology because you can physically reach someone faster than any other human can.
That's a great call out as well, because that goes to show this isn't just replacing people and jobs. There's actually a use case alongside people as well. Like, you know, I've seen ones where maybe you're working in a power plant or a chemical plant, very hazardous area. People are wearing protective gear, etc., but they need tools. And so rather than them going all the way back out to the start to get the tools they need, a drone can just come along and drop the tools to them, like you were sort of talking about, Albert. So the use cases are just numerous. There's heaps.
Yeah. And I don't want to kind of bang on every one of these enterprise use cases and talk about how great DJI are. But the other thing I do want to call out, because they call it out very specifically, is agriculture. So they've developed a set of agricultural drones to help farmers, do a bunch of different things. But the main one is spraying of crops, whether that's with pesticides, whether it's with water, whether it's with, you know, different fertilizers and things to support growth. Like if you imagine you're a farmer, you've got hectares or like, you know, miles, kilometers of land, farmland that you need to maintain, you need to watch, you need to look out for. And then you need to water it and spray them. That's a really person-intensive service, right? You've got to hire people to go out there to spray. You've got to look after all your plants and all your crops. That takes time, and it's not really something you can do relatively easy. Now, with drone technology, they can do that with a click of the button. So, anything that required a person to go do, now they've automated with a drone, and now they can do it in their free time. And that kind of frees farmers up to a lot of different things now across the business, and think about how they, you know, strategically place crops, how they maintain relationships with their suppliers and vendors, who they sell to, you know, what kind of the next couple of years for a farmer is, and things like that. And so it's a pretty unbelievable business that you can apply drones to.
Yeah, I mean, some of the stats I've seen is that a single drone, you know, that can stay, some of these sort of commercial grade drones can stay in the air longer than the consumer ones. They can cover 40 acres of land for a crop dusting in 1 hour. Like, that's an extraordinary amount of area. And if you're thinking about not just, you know, spraying and pesticides, etc., but just taking the camera footage, you know, there's whole companies which are set up where basically you take a photo of your house plant, send it through, and they'll tell you what's, you know, wrong with it. What does the brown leaf mean? Diagnosis, etc. Think of that, but instead of your house plant, it's dealing with crops, you know, acres and acres of food, etc., where you do want to know if there's, you know, something that's gone wrong, a disease that's sort of spreading in your crops, so you can isolate it quickly and quarantine it. These are technologies that are going to create productivity in our economies, in our agricultural industry. So it's super, it's something to watch.
Yeah. And they've wrapped, you know, their drone service around with a piece of software. So they've got an app that maps to, you know, your farm and uses map data and geospatial data to show, like, here's the different fields in your farm. Here's how you can control your drones. This is what's happening right now if you zoom in using cameras and things like that. So they've created this, like, almost full stack agricultural business that looks after itself using drones.
So, Albert, we've talked a lot about drones, but I want to hone back into to DJI. What makes DJI different from its competitors? You know, we mentioned, I think you mentioned the stat that they've got like 75% market share. I've seen something that in recent years that's dropped a bit, but they're still the market leader. Why is that?
Yeah, I mean, on the consumer side, there's a range of different things that really differentiates DJI from their competitors. But really, I want to point to three things, which is first, the range. So, drones themselves are relatively expensive. Like, most drones are about $1,000. So, if you're new to drones and you're not really a flying enthusiast, you're not going to drop $1,000 on a hobby unless you're really compelled to do it. But because they've got such a broad range, starting with, you know, a cheap entry-level drones, like $200, $300, like the Spark, and going much further, like the Mavic, which is, you know, upwards of $1,000, $2,000. They can hook people in to drones with a really cheap entry point that is not only easy to use, you know, but it's also got a lot of stability wrapped around it, good battery life, got precise controls. But the key thing and one of the drivers for people to buy drones is the camera quality. And if you ever used a DJI drone, the camera quality is incredible and just blows some of their competitors out of the water.
Yeah, that's consistency. Consistent across all of the reviews I've been reading, Albert, is that if you compare quality for price, DJI is ahead of every other sort of business. And some of the other competitors have basically said this, which is, you know, at the price that they're selling with the features, et cetera, that they have, it is, they can't compete. And some really high profile examples would be GoPro. They tried to get into the drone market. You know, GoPro is famous for having cameras which deal really well with action shots, being out there in wild environments, etc. You'd think there would be a perfect synergy between that business and developing drone technology. But they could not compete at all. Like, they're completely out of the drone game now. Some of the problems they faced was, you know, their drone would fall out of the sky just for no particular reason. The camera quality not as good. It's like, this is what goes back to that point where drones are really complex. They're made up of all sorts of different technologies. And one of the things I've read is that DJI has really invested in its engineers. Like, they've really gone to have as good quality personnel as possible so that they can build a product which just seems to be pound for pound better than their competitors across the board.
Yeah. And I think the last thing that's worth calling out, and this is consistent across, you know, their professional, enterprise, and consumer drones, is that they just made it really easy to use. I don't know if you've ever seen kind of the initial drones that came to market, but they were really clunky. You actually had to assemble it yourself. So they came in different parts. You would have to assemble the drone when you bought it. You'd have to modify a bunch of things in the drone. And there are drones that are, you know, for particular enthusiasts who still come like that. But DJI saw like a consumer would want to use it straight away. They don't want to have to fiddle around with that. And they've got this explicit or implicit, but it's there, philosophy of a simple to easy to use drone that permeates across all their products. And that's what's made them really successful.
That's an interesting point, because we haven't really touched on it, but you know, this is a Chinese-based company, which has some other concerns, which we'll probably touch on just as we finish up, Albert. But you don't necessarily associate Chinese electronics company with the kind of quality and market leading features that DJI have. Do you have any sort of thoughts on that particular observation?
I absolutely agree with you, Dan. I think, you know, and maybe it's a generalization now because we're in 2022 and there's heaps of amazing Chinese companies. But, you know, for the most part, it's very rare that you have a seamless Chinese company, particularly around consumer electronics, who can produce something that is so simple to use, but also kind of very westernized in its approach, its interface and things like that. Like, this probably feels more like a product that you'd expect from Apple in how easy it is to use, rather than like what most people traditionally believe as like a Chinese consumer tech business.
Yeah, and when I was researching, I found some really interesting quotes from Tim Cook, who's obviously the Apple CEO, when talking about some of the misperceptions of China. And you know, one of the things he basically said very bluntly was the age where China was a low-cost manufacturing sort of solution for labor for companies to outsource to, that is way in the past. China has now moved into a tier of actually being very advanced in their manufacturing. Like, the craftsmanship that you will find in China for sophisticated robots, computer science, you know, hardware and tech is basically unparalleled. And that's why companies like Apple continue to have so much of the manufacturing operations there. It's not necessarily just the price point, it's the quality point. And when you hear that from the CEO of Apple, arguably, you know, the number one tech company in terms of user perceptions of quality, you can see how that translates to a company like DJI, where clearly they are harnessing that craftsmanship, that advanced manufacturing skill. This isn't a low-cost solution, even though they are beating out their competitors on price as well. This is very much a product-led business trying to sell the highest quality product they possibly can.
For sure. And I mean, the only other comparison I have would probably be Xiaomi in terms of a very similar philosophy to how their products look. But even then, they still don't feel as nice to use as a DJI product. And certainly I can say that hand on heart because I've owned a DJI product and I've owned a Xiaomi product. And so there's this level of sophistication and ease that comes with, you know, the DJI apps.
Albert, do you want to do an East versus West comparison?
Yeah, I mean, let's quickly talk East versus West and then maybe talk about kind of risks with this business, because there's kind of a lot going on with DJI, particularly like around US-China tensions. I think East versus West, GoPro is a really, really big example of someone who's, you know, trying to get into the space, but obviously not doing it as well. I think the other comparison I probably would draw is Apple. I know they don't play in the same space, but from a philosophical perspective, they have very, very similar products. And then, you know, specifically talking about drones, I mean, there's a range of kind of startups and big kind of corporates in this space, but I'm going to lean on traditional kind of aviation and military businesses like Boeing as an example of that, Lockheed Martin, because they are playing in the drone space, but predominantly for military applications.
I'm going to throw one at you, which is usually I'm very conservative with my comparisons, Albert, but I'm feeling a little Tesla with DJI. And the reason I say that is because they're a sort of manufacturing product-led company, but very much at what I think is the start of a big wave in terms of this is clearly, I think, a future product which is going to be ubiquitous in the marketplace, is going to be all over the world, it's going to be present in everything we do. So in the same way, Tesla, I think, is a fantastic product, but also happens to be, I think, front of the queue of the next generation of a particular technology. I think DJI is quite similar. They're an excellent product, and they also happen to be at the first in line for the next generation of drone technology, which I think is going to push them and really propel them into the future.
That's really interesting. Do you see that Tesla, do you see Tesla moving into the drone space?
The only reason I could see that would be the LiDAR sort of technology. So obviously the autonomous vehicles, having all the cameras, there's a parallel there between what Tesla's doing and what DJI are doing. But I don't think there's a reason for them to do that, because the market that they're chasing in terms of the global motor vehicle market is so big, so huge. There's no reason to sort of try and branch out into the much smaller drone market.
Yeah, that's so interesting, because DJI also started to push into the automotive market. So they use their cameras as autonomous vehicle cameras. Mm. So you can buy like an autonomous vehicle kit that does really basic things like parking, you know, helps you do cruise control and things like that from DJI. So they're, I think if they're looking for horizon past drones, I reckon it is around autonomous vehicles, but not necessarily the manufacturer of vehicles, just the components to enable it.
Yeah, that's a great call out. China tensions, Albert. Do you want to hit on that?
Yeah, so, I mean, the big one is they've been put onto the banned entity list, which prevents US investors investing in different Chinese companies. And so, for DJI, it means they're really limited as a private entity on who they can get capital from.
Yeah, that one wasn't too concerning from my eyes, Albert, just because there's so much money elsewhere in the world where they can get investment for sure. The one which was a bit concerning to me was they're also on another sort of blacklist for Chinese military industrial complex companies, which I think basically just means that American suppliers are prohibited from selling to them without an exemption. So there are some exemptions so they can do so. But if you're thinking about, let's say, computer chips, which are manufactured in America, there are prohibitions in place that prevent them being sold to DJI as an American supplier to a sort of banned foreign entity. So, I mean, those two in of itself, I don't think are crippling for the business. I don't think that they're actually affecting the business too much. But it's more the potential move into this area that, you know, if there are further bans down the track, that could be a really big blow to DJI, because North America is one of the largest marketplaces for drone technology.
Yeah, and some of it is quite like Trumpian in terms of where this has come from. Obviously, there's a lot happened between the US and China while Trump was president. And one of those things was Trump removing or banning DJI drones, Chinese drones, from US government kind of fleets. But it's worth noting that the US Pentagon did, you know, outline a report that says there's no kind of malicious code in DJI drones. And in fact, they do recommend them for use of by government entities as well as anyone working with US services. So while there is obviously tension geopolitically between the two, I wouldn't say, and hopefully, that DJI is not kind of a malicious actor when it comes to, you know, fueling those tensions.
Yeah, no, I think the basic point to hit on, I'm not sure if we mentioned, is the concern obviously being that as a drone company, they're gathering all this data, footage of not just American citizens or people, but also critical infrastructure as well. And, you know, there's a concern that that data is making its way back to the Chinese government for ulterior uses. But that's probably all we need to mention on that, Albert. Do you want to get into verdicts?
Look, I think this is a really, really great company. They're obviously a market leader in drone technology. They're doing the right things in terms of what you want strategically. They're exploiting drones, but also exploring new markets like B2B, like agriculture, filmmaking, autonomous vehicles. I think strategically they're doing all the right things as well.
Yeah, I'm a huge fan. I think you've nailed it with that assessment, Albert, and that summary. Don't really have much more to add to that, except I am interested to see what other products they might start leaning into as well. Like, their product range for drones is unmatched. Like, it's huge, and they clearly service anyone from a first basic user all the way up to professionals, enterprises we talked about. It'd be really interesting to see if they can use that know-how in other areas with other technologies, in the same way that Apple, and we use that comparison, has sort of really expanded out their portfolio of products. I want to see what DJI looks like in 10 years. Like, what's their portfolio of products then?
Yeah, I think it's probably worth calling out here, Dan, you know, before we wrap out the pod, is that if we project out into the future, do you see DJI being a behemoth technology company? Like, do you see them becoming, like, not Apple, but, you know, sizable and much larger than they are now?
Do I see them being larger? Absolutely. Apple, I don't think, is a good comparison because that is such a consumer tech company, I think. Like, I would much more expect DJI to be one of those huge companies that you haven't necessarily heard about, because I think so much of their profit and revenue is going to be in that enterprise business. So I think it's going to be a bit like an Oracle, Albert, where, like, if you're in business, you know about Oracle, but if you're just a regular consumer, you don't really use it that much. You wouldn't know about it necessarily.
Yep, no, that's a really good call. And then I guess one more thing, right, is, like, this really paints a picture of what this business could become, in that in the future, do you see everyone holding a drone license and being able to fly a drone?
No, I don't. I think it's much more likely that you've got, you know, the Amazons of the world who have fleets of drones. I think to some extent the sort of consumer private citizen use of drones is a bit of a gimmick, and I don't think it's going to be that much of their sort of their revenue stream.
Yeah, no, that's very fair. Good to get your take on it, Dan.
All right, Albert, let's finish up there. Thank you for listening to the Fresh Capital Podcast, a podcast about companies and investing told in a refreshingly simple way. Catch us next week on the pod. Thanks again. See ya.
Thank you for listening to another episode of Fresh Capital. Every week, we provide a refreshingly simple way to learn how companies operate and how investing works. Just a reminder, all information contained in this podcast is for education and entertainment purposes only. It is not intended as a substitute for professional, financial, legal, or tax advice. The hosts of Fresh Capital are not financial professionals and are not aware of your personal financial circumstances. Any opinions expressed in the show are not recommendations or advice. Please consult a licensed financial professional before you jump in. As always, we look forward to seeing you next week. See ya!